Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
stocks tumble as coronavirus cases surge around the world.
With just 6 days to the election, the outbreak dominates talk on the campaign trail.
And on Capitol Hill, big tech CEOs take the stand to testify on hate speech and misinformation.
New York officials discourage travel out of the state for the holidays, plus another night of unrest in Philadelphia over the police killing of a black man. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Los Angeles Dodgers won the World Series. They beat Tampa Bay 3-1 to take the series in 6 games.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and global stocks are tumbling as COVID cases climb around the world. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 43 points, Dow futures down 427, and NASDAQ futures down 112. The DAX in Germany is down 2.8%, so is the CAC in Paris, and the FTSE 100 is down 1.9%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.3%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down about the same. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.75%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.8% on $1.53 at $38.04 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $7.20 at $19.04.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1763 against the dollar. The yen at 104.29. Amy.
Karen, we begin with the latest on the pandemic as cases continue to surge across most of the country. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And Amy, infections are climbing in the Midwest and the Northeast, even in rural areas like North Dakota. The White House coordinator, Dr. Deborah Birx, just returned from a visit to the state.
It doesn't matter if you're in a rural area or if you're in an urban area. There are high levels of virus circulating because it's circulating in us.
32 states saw hospitalizations rise at least 10% in the past week. The U.S. daily infections hit 66,000 on Monday. That marks a new high for the 7-day average of cases. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. There are just 6 days until the election, and the virus continues to dominate talk on the campaign trail.
The vaccines, which are coming immediately, even without, we're turning that corner. You know, at some point, we're turning that corner.
The president acknowledged the surge in the Midwest, but insists cases will fall in the next 2 weeks. Experts disagree. Joe Biden continues to attack the White House response to the pandemic.
There's been so much pain, so much suffering, so much loss in America. More than 225,000 dead Americans because of COVID-19.
Infections are rising in key battleground states, bringing up questions about how the pandemic could affect voter turnout.
Cases are also climbing in Europe, the UK and France reporting the most daily deaths since May and April, while Italy and Greece post record numbers of infections. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo has the very latest from Brussels.
We are moving very close to a lockdown, which is a real shift in strategy. It's a complete U-turn from everything that we had heard until now. Remember, there was this idea that Europe was ready for the second wave, that hospitals were in much better shape, and this was about testing, not locking people at home.
In Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel is pushing to close bars and restaurants for a month. In France, President Emmanuel Macron is expected to announce new restrictions today.
Those restrictions have stocks tumbling in Europe, but there's better news on the earnings front. Results from Deutsche Bank topped estimates. Income from fixed income and currency trading rose 47% in the third quarter, nearly doubling the gains seen from U.S. banks. We spoke with Deutsche Bank Chief Financial Officer James von Moltke.
We've basically doubled rates revenues now for 4 quarters in a row. And so for us, the sustainability of these revenues is a key factor, and we think a significant amount of it will stick.
The results have Deutsche Bank planning bonus increases for its top investment bankers. Traders are less excited about the results. Shares of Deutsche Bank are down more than 3% in Frankfurt.
Back here in the U.S., shares of Microsoft are down nearly 2% in early trading, despite revenue that beat estimates. There was good and bad news in that report. Ed Ludlow has details from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Strong demand from corporate customers for Microsoft's cloud business boosted the company's top line. It also reported growth in personal computing and gaming, with families stuck at home and looking for ways to pass the time. These helped the company report its 13th consecutive quarter of double-digit revenue growth. But it's not all good news. Microsoft's CFO told Bloomberg one-time sales to large and small businesses alike are still being hurt in this post-pandemic economy. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. The rest of Big Tech reports earnings tomorrow, but they'll also garner attention today. Top executives are set to testify at a Senate hearing focused on hate speech and misinformation. Here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The CEOs of Facebook, Twitter, and Google parent Alphabet will defend legal protections granted to the industry, known as Section 230, when they testify about social media's role in moderating speech online. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey will call Section 230, quote, the Internet's most important law for free speech and safety, and argue that repealing the law will lead to more policing of content, not less. And Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg will make a similar argument. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Charlie. And a surprise election victory by President Trump next week could benefit U.S. equities and the dollar. That's according to J.P. Morgan Chase, which says a win for the president could also hamper Asian assets. The firm says that is based on market moves we saw after President Trump's unexpected win 4 years ago. Joe Biden is currently leading in the polls, but Wall Street firms are starting to caution against assuming a Biden win.
Credit Suisse has started an advisory group to focus on so-called mega deals. Bloomberg News has learned the group will pull together top investment bankers from different sectors, including some of the highest producing bankers at the firm. Credit Suisse has advised on about $250 billion in mergers and acquisitions this year. That makes it the fifth most active deal maker by volume. S&P futures are down 41 points this morning. Dow futures down 425. NASDAQ futures down 112. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. The lawyer for the family of a black man killed by Philadelphia police officers says the family had called for an ambulance to get him help with a mental health crisis, not for police intervention. Police say 27-year-old Walter Wallace Jr. was wielding a knife and ignored orders to drop the weapon before officers fired shots Monday afternoon. Shaka Johnson is the lawyer for the Wallace family.
We have a person who has mental health issues. We're going to vet those out as the process continues. But we have officers who I think are not properly trained to deal with those mental health issues.
Tuesday was a second night of unrest with police and protesters and looting in Philadelphia. There was also unrest in Brooklyn last night over the death of Wallace. The NYPD says protesters smashed windows and set small fires. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio stood in line for more than 3 hours to vote early. De Blasio filled out his ballot in Brooklyn late yesterday afternoon. Tuesday marked the fourth day of early voting in the city. It comes as the New York City Board of Elections extended early voting hours at some polling places over the weekend. Earlier, de Blasio gave a news conference about holiday traveling during the COVID pandemic.
It's not business as usual. I hate to say it, but I have to urge all New Yorkers, do not travel out of state for the holidays. Do not travel to a state with a high infection rate. Do not travel to a country with a high infection rate.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is seeking to keep 95% of the U.S. out of New York as the coronavirus rages across the nation. Cuomo added California to a list of 39 states whose residents must quarantine 14 days if they visit New York. The Port Authority said it will start issuing $50 fines to people not wearing face coverings at its airports, Manhattan bus terminals, and subways. The move follows a similar $50 fee that the MTA began last month. Louisiana is bracing for another hurricane this year. Zeta is expected to make landfall south of New Orleans this evening as a Category 1. This business owner in Gulfport Harbor says preparation has become a way of life this year.
We're just going to pick up the pieces at this over with, and God mercy, we're going to be back in operation at this over with.
Officials noted that Zaylee is expected to be a relatively fast-moving storm. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right, thank you, Michael. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Amy, 13 times the Dodgers have been to the postseason since they last won it all in 1988. A lot of playoff disappointments, losses in the 2017 and 18 World Series. But last night, World Series Game 6 with Tampa Bay, Arlington, Texas.
No ball, two strikes, two out. Urias to Adames. Call strike three! The Dodgers win, finally! The wait is over. The Dodgers are the champions of 2020.
Dodgers radio the call. L.A. won 3-1, a game where both teams had only five hits. The Rays got a home run from their rookie sensation, Randy Arozarena, second batter of the game, but they never scored after that. The Dodgers couldn't touch Tampa Bay starter Blake Snell. They had only two hits off him. But after the second one, sixth inning, the Rays took Snell out, and the Dodgers promptly scored twice. Mookie Betts doubled and scored, and then Betts, who the Dodgers acquired from the Red Sox and signed to that massive 12-year contract, homered in the eighth. Corey Seager named World Series MVP. Justin Turner was not on the field for the final out. They learned late in the game that he tested positive for COVID. The Jets are having their worst season since 1996 when they went 1-15, so they had the first pick of the 97 draft, and Peyton Manning decided to stay in school for another year. Could the same thing be happening? The Jets are the NFL's worst team. The prize figures to be Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, but Lawrence said yesterday that while his mindset is to leave school and turn pro, who knows what he'll end up doing. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy?
All right, thanks, John. And Callaway Golf plans to buy the remainder of driving range chain Topgolf Entertainment Group. The deal values closely held Topgolf at about $2 billion. Callaway, the maker of Big Bertha drivers and other equipment, already own 14% of Topgolf. Topgolf driving ranges feature food, drinks, and electronic games seen as a way to bring younger players to golf. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are dropping to a five-month low, and U.S. stock index futures are slumping as rising coronavirus infections and tougher lockdowns add to worries about the economic hit from the pandemic. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 40 points this morning. Dow futures down 415. NASDAQ futures down 108. The DAX in Germany is down 2.8%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.75%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.6% at $1.44 at $38.13 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $8.20 at $1903.70 an ounce. The euro, 1.1753 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2982, and the yen, 104.33. Today we are watching for a report on wholesale inventories at 8:30 Wall Street time. And it's another busy day for corporate earnings with UPS and Boeing among those reporting. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The presidential campaign is shifting west as President Donald Trump campaigns in Arizona and stages a rally in a town just across the Colorado River from neighboring Nevada. Yesterday, Trump campaigned in three states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris will campaign in Arizona a day after making multiple Nevada stops. There were more protests in Philadelphia after Monday's fatal police shooting of a black man who was holding a knife. Walter Wallace Jr.'s mother had called 911 saying her son was having a mental health emergency. Neighborhood businesses were looted and ransacked both Monday and Tuesday. Pennsylvania's governor called in the National Guard. The Los Angeles Dodgers are the World Series champs. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays in Game 6. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we are watching the number of coronavirus cases surge in Europe. Lockdowns might soon be put into effect again. We're joined now by Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Brussels. Maria, give us an idea of how bad this outbreak is now, particularly compared to the spring.
Look, I think that when you focus on the infections, when you focus on the pressure in hospitals, when you focus on the number of people that are dying, unfortunately, that is a reality of coronavirus over the past 24 hours, it really is a situation that does seem critical, that seems at times dramatic. And I think you really need to factor here that it's hard to compare with March because the testing was different. We're testing more people, but also the fact that we were told that hospitals were ready for the second wave in Europe and that we were in a position to tackle this differently. And that adds an element of social anger to this round of coronavirus. And this could also mean that those restrictions that would potentially be implemented as soon as today, including a lockdown in France, could go down in a way that's very different to March. We are seeing pushback on the streets in Europe, citizens who are asking themselves, how do we get this so wrong and how do we end up here? But also, how come we've been whiplashed for weeks now over measures that are not really taming the curve?
Yeah, I want to get into that. Let's not just gloss over it. What you said was very important. Europe seemed to really be in fairly good shape. Not that long ago, it seemed like the nations in Europe had a handle on this, looked ready to handle a possible second surge. What happened?
Well, this is really the big question, and it's really difficult to say. And there's a number of factors that I guess we'll have to explore over the next few weeks in terms of how this went south. But, you know, there's a number of issues that doctors would point to, the fact that we may have opened up too quickly during the summer, the fact that we may have been relaxed by the fact that there was good weather, by the fact that the infection rate was coming down, and the fact that there's also fatigue that kicks in. You know, when your life changes after 6 months, when you're in the house, we're not able to leave, the moment you're out, you want to be spending time with your friends, with your family, you want to be out and have a drink, really just have something that looks like a normal life to you. So it may have been a combination of opening too quickly, of tracing and testing not being as effective as we thought they would be, perhaps opening too quickly to tourists. To remember, in the European Union, you can travel from all the different countries without a passport, without any restrictions. That may have been an issue. And just the fact that maybe governments got too comfortable with this, they just didn't plan enough. And now that means more restrictions, more draconian measures. And this is just not going down well, as you can imagine.
So as you are finding that the population is losing patience with this, their tolerance for another lockdown is quite low now. Is that part of the pushback that governments are facing as they are looking at this surge?
Look, measures only work if people are willing to respect the rules. In March, people did respect the rules because they were scared. There was real fear. We hadn't seen hospitals under pressure the way that we saw them back in March. You also have to factor that Europeans do take a lot of pride in the fact that we have a good health system, that we do believe we have the best in the world. And that was a real reality shock when you see hospitals crammed and when you see patients being treated in ways that are not ideal, purely because there was such overcapacity happening. When you look at the social context now, that has changed. You know, for weeks we were told we were ready, the second wave was going to be different, and that hospitals were in a good shape. That is not really what we're seeing on the ground, and people can see that. You also need to factor that for many industries, such as restaurants, you probably haven't been working for a whole year now, so this is really taking a whole toll on your personal life, on your personal finances, on your mental health perhaps too, and you really do have first questions to ask to governments. How did this happen? It's a very fair question that I imagine a lot of people in Europe will be putting themselves today.
Okay, Maria, we only have a minute here, but I have to ask you what options may be left for those governments and what you are watching for over the coming days and weeks in about 1 minute.
Yeah. We want to focus on the French President Emmanuel Macron, who's speaking today at 8 p.m. Paris time. He may announce a lockdown for 4 weeks. That would be the first lockdown of this second wave and could potentially really change the debate here, where we've gone from testing to actually now having to lock people home. And that could signal that perhaps other countries in Europe could go that way. So this idea that lockdowns 2.0 could happen may be around the corner. So that's really something that we're keeping an eye on today.
How soon, by the way, how soon would that happen?
Today. It could, that French lockdown could go into effect from Thursday night going into Friday morning. So that means in the next 48 hours.
Okay, we'll be watching it with you. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Brussels, bringing us up to speed on this new surge that is going on in Europe as different countries are handling this differently. Some are looking at those lockdowns, some may be stricter than others, how they may be having to work together to get on the same page to wrestle this virus under their control, or at least try to stem the spread. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Brussels, thank you so much. Much more about this coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak. Also, we're going to get the latest on the news you need as we are less than a week from Election Day. How all of this is going to factor into that. 6 more days left until Election Day. And coronavirus cases also surging in the U.S. We'll get some expert advice on that as well. This is Bloomberg. It's 5:24 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the New York Community Trust. You can leave a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust that's built to have a lasting impact. To ignite your charitable legacy today, learn more at give2.nyc.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are tumbling as coronavirus cases surge around the world. Let's get the very latest on the pandemic live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, U.S. hospitalizations in 32 states over the past week have risen at least 10%. Hospitalizations are up 68% in New Mexico, 50% in Wyoming, and 38% in Connecticut. The seven-day average of U.S. infections is at a new high. Cases also hitting records in Europe. The U.K. is reporting the most deaths since May, while Italy and Greece post record infections. And in Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel is pushing to close bars and restaurants for a month. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. And fresh restrictions also could be coming in France after that country reported the most fatalities since April. Let's get the latest on that from Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo.
We are going to hear from French President Emmanuel Macron. There is a lot of speculation already as to the measures that he could announce. Yesterday, there was this idea that perhaps we could see a curfew from 7 p.m. combined with a weekend lockdown. But it now does seem that the French government would be more inclined to go for a 4-week complete lockdown that would start on Friday and would signal a huge shift in the strategy when it comes to coronavirus in Europe.
Macron is scheduled to deliver a televised address tonight in France after the biggest surge in deaths in 6 months.
Those fresh restrictions have stocks in Europe at a 5-month low, but there's better news on the earnings front. Results from Deutsche Bank and Heineken topped analyst estimates. Deutsche Bank said it's also planning bonus increases for its top investment bankers.
Back here in the U.S., earnings from Microsoft beat estimates. Revenue climbed 12%, but the company's forecast fell short of projections. That has shares down nearly 2% in early trading.
The rest of big tech reports earnings tomorrow, but they'll also garner attention today. CEOs are set to testify at a Senate hearing focused on hate speech and misinformation. We'll hear from Twitter's Jack Dorsey, Alphabet's Sundar Pichai, and Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg beginning around 10 a.m. Wall Street time. And futures this morning are moving lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 45 points, Dow futures down 438, NASDAQ futures down 124, and the DAX in Germany down 3.1%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 0.75%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 4.1% at $1.61 at $37.96 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. Tense moments continue between Philadelphia officers and protesters last night following the deadly police shooting of a black man who was armed with a knife Monday. His family said 27-year-old Walter Wallace Jr. had mental issues. Neighborhood businesses were looted and ransacked both Monday and Tuesday. Walter Wallace Sr. called for calm.
And I don't condone no violence,
tearing up the city, looting up the stores, and all this chaos going.
The family says they called 911 for an ambulance to help Wallace, and police arrived instead. There was also unrest in Brooklyn over the Wallace shooting. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is calling for residents to avoid traveling to other states for the holidays. De Blasio spoke during a news briefing.
Everyone's going to make their own decision. And I know there are painful choices, especially if you haven't seen family in a long time and you're worried about older relatives in other places. I get it. There's going to be tough choices to make, and everyone has to make their own choice. But my recommendation, based on the information I've received from our healthcare leadership, is to avoid travel this holiday season, to stay safe, to keep us all safe.
De Blasio later stood in line for more than 3 hours for early voting in Brooklyn. With 6 days left until Election Day, business continues to pick up on the campaign trail. President Donald Trump campaigns in Arizona today. Yesterday, the president stopped in 3 states, including Omaha, Nebraska.
The vaccines, which are coming immediately, even without, we're turning that corner. You know, at some point, we're turning that corner, and it's been pretty amazing.
Former Vice President and Democratic nominee Joe Biden spoke in Atlanta.
You can think of any president where there's been a national crisis who didn't bring all the parties together in the White House to try to solve something. He's done nothing.
Biden will campaign in Florida, where former President Barack Obama campaigned yesterday. Early voting has reached more than half of the total U.S. ballots cast in 2016. Louisiana is bracing for the third hurricane strike this year. Zeta is expected to make landfall south of New Orleans this evening. New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell.
We need folks to prepare now, get the supplies that you need. Make a plan, stay safe, stay home.
Zeta is expected to hit as a Category 1. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right, thank you, Michael. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Amy. The Dodgers are the World Series champions for the seventh time in franchise history, first since 1988. Game 6 with Tampa Bay was 1-0 Rays from the top of the first inning when Randy Arozarena hit his 10th home run of the postseason to the bottom of the sixth. That's when the Rays took out starter Blake Snell, who had been dominant. L.A. scored twice in the sixth. Mookie Betts had a big hit. And then he came up in the eighth.
Fairbanks delivers, and Betts with a fly ball to left field. Well hit. It's on its way. It's gone. Mookie Betts with a home run. Dodgers lead 3-1, inching closer to the World Series championship on a home run by Mookie Betts.
Dodgers radio, 3-1 the final. The difference, the bullpens. While L.A. got to the Tampa Bay pen, the Dodgers used 6 relievers, and in 7 1/3 innings, they allowed no runs, 2 hits, no walks, 12 strikeouts. Julio Urias got the last 7 outs. He had gotten the last 9 of Game 7 win over Atlanta in the NLCS. The Dodgers' overall record, 56-22. They went 7-2 after they fell behind the Braves in the NLCS, and in one of those losses, they were one strike from victory. They will always have fond memories playing in Arlington, Texas. That's where they won 11 postseason games. 2020, quite a year for L.A. teams. Championships for the Lakers and now Dodgers. Tiger Woods has decided not to play next week's Houston Open, the week before the Masters, where Tiger is the defending champ. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy?
All right, thank you, John. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report, and for that, we are joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New Jersey's labor commissioner is defending a new state law mandating severance payments for people affected by mass layoffs. Robert Asaro Angelo told a federal judge Monday a suit challenging the mandate fails for lack of standing and lack of a proper defendant. The coronavirus has boosted interest in life science real estate in New York. The Times reports that with state and city government support, developers are building laboratories for medical research and incubator spaces for biotech startups amid the race for a vaccine. With the infection rate jumping past 4%, Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont is sharing an example of what businesses and customers should not be doing. He posted a video on Twitter Tuesday of a huge crowd seen at the Bridgeport Bar 1020. Mayor Joe Ganim says the bar was closed Sunday for a third violation of COVID-19 orders. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right. Thank you, Ed. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Joan Doniger telling WIOD listeners in Miami, Western Union is looking for a way to keep processing money sent to Cuba after a new Trump administration embargo could force its offices there to close.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that a Chicago-based private equity firm is buying a majority stake in Consumer Cellular.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson under pressure as the UK records its largest number of new virus deaths since May.
I'm Courtney Dunahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Callaway Golf plans to buy the rest of driving range chain Topgolf.
I'm Steve Potoskin on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about the drop in Sony Pictures' profit as theater sales plunge during the pandemic.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford reports third quarter results after the market closed.
Those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another busy day for earnings with more than 40 companies in the S&P 500 reporting, among them Boeing. Let's get a preview on the plane maker from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
The aerospace giant is caught in what one analyst reportedly called a no-man's land, with its 737 MAX still grounded, though nearing recertification, and the coronavirus pandemic crushing travel demand. Bloomberg Intelligence sees an operating loss of $1.7 billion. Overall, revenue is seen falling 31% to $13.7 billion. Boeing delivered just 28 jetliners during the third quarter versus 62 a year earlier. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right. Thank you, Larry. And Credit Suisse has started an advisory group to focus on so-called mega deals. Bloomberg News has learned the group will pull together the top investment bankers from different sectors, including some of the highest producing bankers at the firm. Credit Suisse has advised on about $250 billion in mergers and acquisitions this year. That makes it the fifth most active deal maker by volume. S&P futures down 1.4%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports Report brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are dropping to a five-month low, and U.S. stock index futures slumping as rising coronavirus infections and tougher lockdowns add to worries about the economic hit from the pandemic. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 47 points, Dow futures down 452, and NASDAQ futures down 122. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 0.75%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Election Day is now just 6 days away. President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden are crisscrossing key battleground states in the home stretch of the campaign. Yesterday, President Trump held rallies in three Midwestern states and will be in Arizona today. Biden was in Georgia and plans to campaign in Florida. Pennsylvania's governor deployed the National Guard last night to Philadelphia after a police shooting on Monday sparked protests. Demonstrators clashed with police following the death of a 27-year-old black man. Walter Wallace was fatally shot by police who said he was armed with a knife. Protests were held in other cities as well, including New York City and Washington, D.C. The Los Angeles Dodgers are the World Series champs. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:48 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Whether another pandemic relief package is actually worked out in Congress this year may hinge on who wins the election. Republican aides say there will be little incentive for Senate Republicans to back a deal if Democrats take control of the Senate or if Joe Biden wins the presidency. Farmers can continue to use dicamba weed killer for 5 years. The Environmental Protection Agency has approved new registrations for use on certain cotton and soybeans. And Uber wants the Labor Department to clarify that requiring background checks of drivers does not mean they're company employees.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now another legal story we're watching. The Supreme Court addressing last-minute pre-election fights over rules for casting and counting ballots. Just minutes before the Senate confirmed Justice Amy Coney Barrett, the High Court issued a 5-3 decision rejecting a Democratic attempt to extend mail-in balloting in Wisconsin, a pivotal swing state. For more on the implications, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to election law expert Richard Brifalt, who is a professor at Columbia Law School.
Some people are looking at what Justice Kavanaugh wrote and saying this foreshadows what happened in Bush v. Gore, that the Supreme Court could disrupt the vote count, that state courts don't have the last word.
Yes. Now, in Bush v. Gore, three justices of the Supreme Court embraced the idea that state courts cannot modify even state laws, even interpreting their own state constitution. Cannot modify state laws when they apply to federal elections like a presidential election. Three justices took that position. The two justices who made the majority went off on the Equal Protection Clause. The majority of the Supreme Court has never embraced this, what's called the independent state legislature doctrine. But certainly now you're hearing both Kavanaugh and Gorsuch taking that position. And Justice Thomas was in the group that voted that way back in Bush v. Gore.
The Wisconsin case follows a 4-4 Supreme Court decision last week that allowed 3 extra days for ballots to arrive in Pennsylvania. It seems to be on its face a direct contradiction.
The big difference between the two cases is the Pennsylvania case came up as an appeal from the decision of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Pennsylvania Supreme Court interpreting its state statute and its constitution. And the different votes with Chief Justice Roberts declining to stay that order in the Pennsylvania case, but voting to stay the order of the federal district court in the Wisconsin case. And he has a brief concurrence in the Wisconsin case pointing out that the criteria are different when the underlying order comes from a state high court as opposed to a federal district court.
Now Pennsylvania Republicans are back at the Supreme Court with basically the same argument. That 4-4 decision with Justice Amy Coney Barrett on the court, could that become a 5-4 decision?
Well, it's certainly possible. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, whether or not the court will take this, whether the court is willing to sort of change its mind so abruptly in light of the appointment of a new justice. Also, it's now even closer to the election, and at this point, many ballots have already been mailed in. As we get even closer to the election, the concern that what the Supreme Court does is disrupted gets even higher. But yes, it is certainly quite possible that the case will be reconsidered. It's coming up in a different setting. It's coming up from a decision of a federal court not to intervene. But the underlying issue of whether or not the state Supreme Court properly acted is pretty much the same issue as before. But of course, now it's a different court.
And that's Columbia Law Professor Richard Brifalt speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Karen. 5:52 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And Amy, good morning. The pandemic has exacerbated the already wide gap between white and black-owned small businesses. And a new report from Goldman Sachs finds numerous obstacles for black entrepreneurs. With more on the findings, we are joined by Asahi Pompei, president of the Goldman Sachs Foundation, and small business owner Carla Walker Miller, who founded Detroit-based Walker Miller Energy Services. Asahi, let's start with you. Can you tell us more about this report?
Sure. When we looked at bank funding, we found that black small business owners had a rejection rate that was 3 times that of their white counterparts. And so what that means is that they're not getting the capital to move from working in their business to working on their business. And John, as you know, Goldman Sachs launched our 10,000 Small Business Program over 10 years ago, and we now have a network of 9,700 business owners scattered across all 50 states, Puerto Rico, and the District of Columbia. And that's, you know, 3 times rejection rate for black business owners is borne out by that data.
And Carla Walker Miller, you're one of the graduates. As a black woman, can you tell us, first of all, starting out as an entrepreneur, did you feel the odds were stacked against you?
Oh, absolutely. The odds were stacked against me. I actually started my business with money from my 401k, but in 20 years in business, receiving money from a bank has been very, very difficult. We come to expect rejection just as a matter of course. I say that the no's are basically teed up before we even walk in the door.
Has anything changed, or has the pandemic exacerbated the underlying problems that you faced years ago starting your business?
The pandemic has exacerbated the problems, but it also has exposed the disparities and brought more entities to the table to help resolve the problems. Now, what's missing is the innovation of solutions and solutions designed with the voices of small businesses in mind.
Being educated, I was surprised to see in this report, is not an equalizing factor. Can you explain that?
Sure, John, you're exactly right. As we look through the data, we found that black female business owners were the most educated group in the entire population, with a whopping 86% of them having at least a bachelor's degree. Now, does that translate in terms of their revenue? In fact, it didn't. These same black female business owners had the lowest median revenue, bringing in roughly 47 cents on the dollar compared to their white male business counterparts.
And Asai, what needs to be done, do you suppose?
I think there are a number of solutions. I think one, you know, sunlight's the best disinfectant, John. And so discussions like this, where we highlight the data and what's going on, I think are critical. I think the second thing, and it's really echoed by Carla's remarks, is we've got to fix the misallocation of capital. We've got to fund CDFIs, fund MDIs, fund black-owned banks. And we've got to also fund the founders. Roughly 1% of U.S. venture capital currently goes to black and Latin founders, and we've got to change that. And the last potential solution, Don, I'd say, is really around social capital. You and I and Carla know it's all about the relationships. And very often, these business owners simply don't have the relationships. So really helping them to build that network, build those relationships, is really going to be imperative for us to see this change.
Yeah, what Asahi just said about relationships, the very worst time to get to know a bank is when you need money. I cannot express how important it is for small companies to develop deep, abiding relationships. Go get out of their comfort zones, get out of their way, and be intentional about meeting bankers, meeting CDFIs, so that when we need money, they know who we are. They know they're not just lending to a small business. They're lending to an owner who is committed and capable and driven.
All right. Thanks to both of you. Asahi Pompei of Goldman Sachs, Carla Walker Miller, founder of Walker Miller Energy Services. Very enlightening. And we're going to continue to focus on small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker, and that is your Bloomberg Small Business Report. Amy and Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:57 on Wall Street, and futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 47 points, Dow futures down 454, and NASDAQ futures down 122. The DAX in Germany is down 3.1%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 0.75%, and the yield in the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is falling today. It's down 4% on $1.60 at $37.97 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.6%, or $11.10 at $1,900.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.1750 against the dollar. The yen, 104.23. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.